Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast bonus content. We haven't done one of these in a while. We're talking the Marvels, so Marvels spoilers for this movie review. Just went to go see it the other day. Milton Manimal also here. He saw it.
Yeah.
We're gonna drop some stuff. You know, we're always gonna talk spoilers. We like to talk the good, the bad, the ugly, the post-credit scene, what we thought. Let's kind of get right into it. So, you know, let's just throw it out there. So, obviously, all over the news, Marvel's dominating force in movie franchise history.
Right.
But with the 33rd entry into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, open to an estimated $47 million at the box office, drastically lower than Ant-Man, Quantumania, Guardians of the Galaxy, and way less than the first Captain Marvel, which did well over $1 billion. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man. You know, I think it has to do with a lot of things. I think if we're talking before we talk like the movie, we're just talking like box office. I think one, there's obviously, and I don't even say a superhero fatigue. I think there is. I mean, of course, there's probably a bit of superhero fatigue, but I think there's also a Marvel MCU fatigue right now as well, because I think they just haven't been putting out a lot of quality content lately, whether it's the Disney Plus stuff, whether it's the movies outside of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I mean, what's really been strong? And, you know, I've seen this, and I'm not trying to play into like wokeism or, you know, pandering or anything like that, but I think it's a very valid situation. Something I saw on a bunch of websites is women didn't show up for this movie. And so like they make this movie, right, about like, hey, it's all these women leads, strong female characters. It's, you know, we'll get into this. It's even almost, you could say, it's a prelude to A-Force in a way in this movie. But I think what they're realizing is, hey, dude, 80% of the people that go see these movies are men. You are kind of trying to like expend this, and you're hoping that it's going to draw women, it's going to bring women, but it's not working. And I think that's part of it, man. I think people are just a little over it, and they're just like, and I think the other thing is most people are kind of probably like, well, I'll just wait till it shows up on Disney Plus and I'll watch it at home.
Yeah, why spend like $40 with your significant other or going out with a family and spend way more than that? And you know, you got to deal with all that when you just basically, if you're paying already, whatever, $15 a month for Disney Plus, and you can just go see it in a couple months. So, and I also think, you know, obviously the big thing I feel like with Captain Marvel was it hit in between that time of Infinity War and Endgame. So everybody wanted to know what was the next big thing. Like, yeah, we didn't even get to see her in Infinity War, but that was the next movie. Right. And everybody, I guess, thought at that time, well, shit, if I don't go see this, I may not understand Endgame. Right.
Right. Maybe I'll get a hint in what's happening, you know, too.
Exactly. So I think that's why that movie did so well. And again, I think that also came out during the whole Me Too movement. So it was a strong female character, even though if people didn't. And I liked the first one. I still think the first one was a great movie for what it was. It was enjoyable. The whole 90s theme was great. And then this movie, yeah, like you said, obviously a lot going on with the woke, you know, go woke or go broke. I couldn't care less about it, to be honest. You know, the three different leads, all different backgrounds, the female black director who's directed the latest Candyman. First of all, I'm a fan of her because she was talking with IGN about video games and what video games she loves. So I'm all for that right off the bat. So, and she even said she tried to do some scenes like where it would almost be like a video game-esque. So, you know, she dropped
some of the fight
stuff
scenes
with,
were pretty strong.
Oh yeah, yeah. She dropped some stuff with like Final Fantasy and Zelda and Last of Us. I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'm liking this chick. I'm liking. But yeah, let's get into the movie. You know,
wait, real quick. Sorry, one more thing in terms of like the box office. I think one of the things that kind of hurt this movie as well is you have three leads, right? And I mean, let's be honest. So Captain Marvel doesn't have a lot of time in the MCU. She has one movie. And she has Endgame, and then maybe what, like a couple appearances and like some other stuff. But then you also have Monica Rambeau that you had to have watched WandaVision, or else you have known nothing about her. Then you had to have watched Ms. Marvel, or you know nothing about her as well. So now you've almost, you're really kind of even making it a little bit more niche. You're like, well, this movie can only really be understood and watched by people who watch all the Marvel stuff to include Disney Plus. So that makes it tougher. And you can go into this movie being like, if you didn't watch WandaVision or Ms. Marvel, I mean, it's not like the plot was super, you know, crazy, but you'd be like, okay, well, I don't really have any connection to these two characters.
Oh yeah, I think Monica has the shortest time on screen as like a superhero. You know, obviously at least like with Kamala Khan, like she had her whole full series.
Right,
WandaVision.
She was the lead. Yeah,
yeah. Monica was kind of like a very background character for the most part, and then Captain Marvel had her own movie, had Endgame at the end, and then what does she show up in? Shang-Chi.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
yeah. You know,
I think, so. Yeah, let's get past that. Let's get into the movie. So, you know, first and foremost, I enjoyed the movie. I will definitely say that. It was definitely one of my, I would say in the past two phases, one of the better movies I've seen. Like you said, I think the fighting was awesome, without a doubt. I think Iman Vellani loves the character, plays the character so well. And just to be, you know, obviously the villain, we're going to obviously get into the villain thing, like, yeah, it's not a memorable villain, but of course, she stayed villain till the end. So that's all that matters in my book, because that's the one big thing always with these Marvel characters or villains anyway. Like you said, it's you really would have to understand everything, right? It's very niche. The characters aren't super secure with themselves. You know, Iman Vellani's character of Kamala Khan's a big fangirl. You have this back and forth between Monica Rambeau and Captain Marvel, who they haven't seen in so long. This is the first time like they're seeing each other in almost 30 years. And then you have what's going on with Captain Marvel, who's, you know, known as the Annihilator for what she did. And I feel like what she did on Hala was so quickly, like that storyline was so quick. I felt like that story should have opened up the movie.
Agreed.
And then almost like would have went further, right? Instead of it being like in between where you find out from the villain, what's her name?
Darbin.
Yeah, like you find out what she did like middle of the way through. And I'm like, I feel like that should have started the movie off. But, you know, there's some scenes that sometimes, I don't know if it would make me cringe. The singing scene, I was fine with, like the singing planet.
Really?
I'm surprised. Yeah, dude, you know what? I thought about it. I'm like, I'm sure as shit there's some planet in the MCU in the comics that they've done this before. You know, I'm not super well-adversed in every planet and every comic book, but I can't imagine them not having that somewhere in the universe.
Yeah.
I, of course, knew what the Flerken thing was going, like the kittens. I knew that shit was happening. Like,
right.
But I felt like that storyline was stupid, right?
Yeah,
there was no need for like that to be on the ship. It was just like to add more, not even growth, but more screen time for like Samuel L. Jackson and Kamala Khan's parents and her brother. Mm-hmm. Like that's all that was for. Like that was so unnecessary. But it does take away from the time that the three leads are there. That's pretty much it for just I guess opening. What about you, okay, man?
So, I didn't come into this movie with high hopes. I was not like you, where I didn't care for Captain Marvel too much. I didn't think it was horrible, but I was never a big fan of it. And I mean, not to get like too in the weeds on it, but I always knew that by doing that movie and what was going to happen with her character, that she was going to be this big powerhouse and that MCU was Marvel setting her up to be like the savior, which always annoyed me. But I was pleasantly surprised moving into this or going to this movie. I enjoyed this movie as well. There's definitely a lot of problems with this movie, but I did have fun watching it. I think quickly on the characters, I would 100% agree with you. And I'm not a Ms. Marvel fan. I don't like her character, her story. It's not that I don't like it. I just am completely disinterested in it. Mm-hmm. But Iman Vellani is amazing. She, like you said, loves the role, nails the role, and you can feel it. You can feel it in the movie. Captain Marvel, by far, this was the best. And I'm glad you brought up the Hala stuff. And I'll come back to Monica because I'm going to talk about her too. But Captain Marvel's story, this was the best iteration of Captain Marvel because it's the first time we've ever actually got to see her as a person or have any problems. And I'm not even like kind of talking about how everyone, you know, talked shit about how her facial expressions. So they just wrote Captain Marvel so bad in previous movies. They never gave her any depth. And this movie did. She was more human. I loved the whole situation, which they just didn't do enough on it either. Not that you needed to, but it could have been fleshed out more, the whole back and forth with her and Monica. Like you said, the Hala stuff, it really humanizes her. And I think that's been the biggest problem with Captain Marvel in the MCU is you've just had, well, she just her facial expressions, like crappy dialogue and super powerful. And I think that pisses people off. So I actually really enjoyed Brie Larson as Captain Marvel in this role, in this movie. I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I like this. But by far, my favorite character is Monica Rambeau. I loved Rambeau, and the only thing I liked in WandaVision was Rambeau. I think her character is strong. I like how smart she is. I like how she's not a superhero. I like how she's discovering her powers. She's got depth. I love everything about Monica Rambeau's character. I would love way more from that. So for me, she definitely stole the show. And like you said, shortest amount of screen time, which I thought was unfortunate. But all in all, first, like, you know, movement through the movie, I enjoyed it surprisingly more than I thought I was going to. I mean, and we'll get into some of the problems, but
Of course, like, you know, hearing all the stuff saying that it was only gonna possibly get to 80 million the opening weekend, and then all the issues, and then I heard 4 weeks of reshoots, and so I went in the same way. Like, I went in with low expectations, but I felt like I knew that I was gonna have fun with it because of the characters that were involved. You know, it was people that we've already seen, people that needed to grow in the MCU. And I felt like, and that's what it is, like watching Kamala Khan. Like, I know a lot of people don't like her. It is what it is. But it's like watching her watch Captain Marvel is like us watching watching any type of superhero movie. We're fanboys and fangirls. Right. Like, we love this stuff. So, like, that's what made me enjoy the movie. Like, there's even times like when they're talking, whichever female is talking and they're quirky and they're going back and forth, it made me smile. Like, I had a nice gringe like on my face. Like, right. Like the time where obviously when they're their powers and they're training and they're figuring out how to, you know,
that was pretty cool. That was kind of cool. That was a good scene.
And just even the beginning fights, like the beginning fight when they're all switching back and forth to the end fight when they're fighting Darbin. I think all the scenes, to be honest with them, were done visually well, without a doubt.
Jumping back and forth was cooler than I thought. Like, at first, as it was going on, I thought I was going to get annoyed with it because it was hard to follow, you know. But then you're also kind of like, okay, this is kind of funny, this is kind of cool. I did enjoy those scenes, the back and forth. But I do think it kind of took away as well from like their power sets, which I guess you don't really need much for the two of them, but we needed more Monica's power set. I would have liked a little bit more focus on that and like learning what her power set was. Mm-hmm. So a little bit more.
Yeah. So obviously you already went over the characters and you said who your favorite one. Like I said, I think my favorite one throughout the whole movie is Kamala Khan. I think she's fun, you know, especially having her the most screen time in the previous because of her show. You know, and learning and growing about who she was and who she is and going forward. You know, what were some things that you didn't like about the movie?
Okay. I think there's three basic things that I think kind of like pretty like get it for me. One, Nick Fury was completely pointless, and I hate what they've done to Nick Fury. Which is also just really shows how crappy and like how Secret Invasion wasn't going to succeed, in my opinion, because they really relegated Nick Fury to like this almost like comic relief in a way, especially with the Captain Marvel movies. Captain Marvel, the first one, did him the worst, in my opinion. And then not to like dovetail into Secret Invasion, but then you get into Secret Invasion and like we're supposed to take it seriously. Like, this guy's been a fucking clown, really, like the past couple times we've seen him.
Yeah.
And then now he's here. And once again, not to say that you need this, but like now there was no reference to Secret Invasion. There was no, even with the Skrulls being in the movie, there was no reference at all. And so you're just like, so that was pointless. That was a pointless series that really had no purpose. So I don't know. So that Nick Fury was an issue for me. And then kind of a combo. I don't know if I find this, sorry, I'm kind of talking out loud and thinking at the same time. The plot was very simple. And I don't think that was necessarily a problem. It didn't need to be elaborate. And maybe it was good that it was kind of simple. But the villain was lame. And I kind of disagree with you when you said it was a villain. She was a villain to the end. And she was, but I hated the fact that it was like a villain who, like, because even my nephew, so I took my like 7-year-old nephew with me, And he was like, at the beginning, he goes, so she's trying to do good, right? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, she's trying to like save her planet, but she's doing horrible at the sacrifice of other yeah. people. You know, it's like, so it's like a fan. It was kind of a Thanos character in a way, except like less menacing and powerful.
Yeah, she didn't rise up like from the bottom to get to the top. Like she was really just like a soldier.
Right.
Right. It was.
And yeah, and she like maybe happened to be in the right place, right time during the Civil War. But also, she sure gave Captain Marvel, the most powerful Avenger in the MCU, she sure gave Captain Marvel with her hammer like a hell of a time, you know?
Yeah.
Like I thought that was kind of bullshit too, dude. Like, I don't know. I thought the villain sucked. I thought there could have been a better villain. But yeah, those would probably be the weak points for me, I think.
Yeah. I don't want to double down on the Secret Invasion stuff, but I totally agree with, you know, no mention of Talos, no mention yeah. of, you know, anything that happened in Secret Invasion. So it's like this whole right. Kree-Skrull war is still continuing, but it still doesn't make sense to the yeah. most part. The villain, yeah, same like, thing.
Fury could have said like something as simple, right, as being like, you know, how Secret Invasion, like, I'm still trying to find you guys another planet or something like that. Or, like, we're still working on the Skrull situation. Mm-hmm. Like, a one-liner, and there was nothing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
sorry, keep going.
It's a little odd. And then the same thing with the villain, I agree. You put her up against Captain Marvel. I mean, Captain Marvel went up against Thanos and
yeah.
held her own and was, you know, it was kind of, like, super powerful. And then you have this just this random chick who is also...
Yeah, like not even really an accuser.
Yeah, nothing like crazy. And then she had, and I get it. It's like, oh, well, she absorbs the powers when she's got that gauntlet. And all right, so that's the only thing that really makes her more powerful. I'm like, I don't really know. I don't really feel
right.
About
so
that.
Is Captain Marvel going to have a hard time against Ms. Marvel? Because it seems like it. Seems like Ms. Marvel with the other bangle could like rock Captain Marvel as well. Yeah.
So yeah, that's I have the same points as far as the things I didn't like. Let's kind of get into, I guess,
cameos and stuff.
Yeah, cameos.
Like that.
I guess we'll go to the cameos and final thoughts. So cameos, I did not see the Tessa Thompson thing coming.
The Valkyrie. Yeah. I didn't know about that.
That it's just like, and I felt, I don't know if that was like a throwaway, you know, it's like, oh, well here, this is where we can put the Skrulls in New Valhalla, that type of thing. And you're like,
right. Okay. It wasn't bad. It was kind of cool, I guess. It shows like so even there though, there was problems with that, like in a way, because so Captain Marvel's like, oh, let me call a friend, right? And Valkyrie shows up and mm-hmm. then they're like, they're super friendly. And so you're like, well, where has this been? Like, where has this Captain Marvel been? This sociable Captain Marvel that we've yep. never seen before. And I will say, like, and I'm not saying this for any kind of like social statement or whatever, but like from the mouth of babes, my nephew did ask me, and that scene mm-hmm. he goes, is that her girlfriend? Are they gay? Like that's what he thought in that scene. And I go, no, I think they're just like really good friends. And which also was strange because like it's this combo, right? Like I don't like my 7-year-old nephew doesn't know what he's seeing. He doesn't know. Obviously, he got an impression from that. And it probably has to do with like, well, we've never seen Captain Marvel be friendly with anyone ever.
Yeah.
So that was strange. But
I love the Kate Bishop thing. That one was.
I knew you would. Hold on. Before you launch into that, I want to, because you had made a comment in our, so we had a group chat. We have a group, many group chats. And Justin said something like, I want to talk about Ms. Marvel. I want to talk about the cameo. And I knew nothing about the cameos. And so when I'm seeing the movie and Valkyrie shows up, I was in my head, I was like, is this the cameo he was talking about? Like, why is he so interested in this? And then when that happened with Kate Bishop, I was like, oh yeah, this is the one. Okay, here we go. So go ahead.
Yeah. The moment, like you just kind of see the bow, like the shadow of the bow. And I was like, immediately, like it didn't even take like the beating of one heartbeat. Like I immediately knew where we were going. And I was like, oh my God, they're finally going to talk. And then they did the whole, and then it brings this like full circle all the way back to 2008 with like Nick Fury, like Kamala Khan acting like, you know, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's, to be honest, maybe this is what we need. We need these younger kids. So like, all right, so you got Kamala Khan, you got Kate Bishop. Their interaction was great, you know, for the whatever 2 minutes you want to call it, you know, bring in Cassie bring in Riri. Like, that's cool. Like, let's do this. Like, I'd be all for it. You need a younger squad unless they just completely redo everything after Secret Wars. But yeah, I was fine. I was fine with that. What about you?
I mean, I liked the interaction, and of course you'd love seeing the crossover with like Kate Bishop, but I don't want that. I don't want Young Avengers. I don't think Young Avengers will do well at all for multiple reasons. I think you have these characters who once again are just copy and paste. So it's Young Avengers. So you want to be doing Young Avengers, make new characters with new powers. Don't have, hey, look, here's our new Hawkeye. Here's our new Iron Man. Here's our new Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel. Here's our new Hulk. Here's our new, like, all you're doing, the Patriot, you know, our new Captain America. You've taken, it's copy and paste with mid-tier characters. Make a new Avengers team and be like, yo, check out this dude. He's got a new power set. All new character. He's not the new Captain America. He's not Iron Man 2.0. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I think it's going to fail. Like, and I think we're seeing that in the current Marvel universe where everyone's like, oh, okay. Falcon. Okay. Like, he's okay, but he's no Chris Evans, you know, right? He's no Steve Rogers.
But I feel like that could be the movie, is like them trying to get together and everybody hating them because it's just like, oh, what are you trying to be, the Avengers, and they can't work together. And I know it's like a rinse and repeat of like Avengers 1 in a way, like they don't work well together, but they are kids, teenagers. So it's, I feel like it's a little bit better. And, you know, again, sometimes you need that lighthearted movie. I know we talk about, well, you need, every movie does need to move the series or the phases forward. And even if that doesn't so much, it may not, but at least it would be a lighthearted movie for kids to go see and other stuff. So, and then I guess realistically,
they'll be hated in the movie, and then they'll be hated in real life. And yeah,
I guess.
I don't think it should be a movie. Honestly, if you're going to do that, and it should be an a la like Netflix Defenders type thing, Disney Plus show, you do Young Avengers. Show. Yeah. Or Champions, Young Avengers, whatever you want to call them. I don't know, man. I don't think it's a way that Marvel's going to succeed that way. But anyway.
And then we have the last but not least. Obviously, there's only one mid-credit scene. We have Monica Rambeau sacrificing herself, waking up in the multiverse of madness that it is. And there's a multiverse where the X-Men exist. So we get our first appearance of Beast from an X-Men, voiced by Kelsey Grammer, CGI, not makeup. And we get Monica Rambeau's character, or I'm sorry, her mother, as Binary, who is on the X-Men team. And let me put this out there right now, newbie comics, you're wrong. It's not a 4 on her chest, it's 2 stars, because that's what Binary has on her costume. I had to fight with this guy on who looks like a 4. She's part of the Fantastic Four. No, man, Binary was on, you know, like, but again, you know what, this movie opens up, I think this movie opened up the multiverse of how you bring in the X-Men, and it did more for the X-Men in one movie, right, than anything else. Like, yes, we had Doctor Strange, but we knew all that was just like, that one world was like stupid because that really didn't introduce them to be kept, right? This solidifies the X-Men into the MCU in a way.
Yeah. I mean, oh man, it was a lot to unpack with that one. Obviously, I'm super excited about the X-Men, and I love it. And you're not wrong. Like, Captain Marvel as a character has a massive history with the X-Men, more so with the Avengers, more than with the Avengers. You know, Rogue and Captain Marvel, Binary and the Brood. Even when she was depowered as a human, she ran around with the X-Men for a long time. So there is a strong connection with the X-Men. So I appreciate that as like an X-fan. Like, that is a good way to introduce them into like a Captain Marvel type situation. I like the CGI with Beast. I thought it looked cool. Obviously, Kelsey Grammer, great voice. I also like the implications of like where they could be, right? Like, so you have in the MCU, you've got Sabre, but they're obviously in like very similar, looks like a space station. And I'm hoping it's S.W.O.R.D., right? Because Beast was a founding member of S.W.O.R.D. in the comics, him and Abigail Brand. So it kind of sets the tone that possibly S.W.O.R.D.'s there as well, which I think would be cool as like a fanboy. You also get the Xavier name drop as well, which was really cool. But I guess my same thought is the same. It always is. I'm scared. I'm nervous. Like, where's it going to go? Like, how are you going to do the X-Men? But I think at the end of the day, dude, I think I'm just a little multiversed out. It's so lazy. It's very lazy writing. It's just a safe way to bring in characters without having any like long lasting implications. You made a great point. Multiverse of Madness. That's lazy. Like, oh, here's this throw off Illuminati. We don't ever have to bring in the Illuminati, and these guys don't matter. And they don't, it's not a big deal. They're killed. Cool. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's fan service. And like, there's no actual, like, there's nothing that's valid about that. And I feel like this whole multiverse, I'm ready for the multiverse saga to be done. Like,
yeah,
I'm ready for stories to actually, because you can just like rewrite them. It's almost like time travel, bro. It's exactly like time travel, right? Like, do whatever you want. We'll do whatever we want, and then we'll just fix it with multiverse or time travel.
Yeah. I agree on that point. And that's going to be,
it was cool.
Yeah. That's the problem. And I agree with you on the multiverse of madness. It is a time travel. It is, the saga is all about just, well, we can rewrite this or we can change that. And
yeah,
you know, basically like becoming the Flash, like the Flash does that, right? That's all it is. Yeah, like, it's really just it's almost like a Marvel point instead of a Flash point. Like, that's all it is.
Everything's a rip in the time space continuum. Every universe is like what was it we just watched? Oh, well, I mean, we're going to talk about it on our, well, I guess this time,
yeah,
we're going to talk when we talk about Loki. If you guys listen to the episode, we talk about Loki. We'll talk about this. But even in Loki, they mention as well, like, oh, on an alternate universe, they battled Kang, right? Or an alternate dimension of an alternate universe. It's like, oh my God, dude, like, you know, all these variants and universes, and it's just too much, man. Like, I don't know. I'm ready for Secret Wars to be gone, done and gone. Like, move on from all the Fox people, even the Kelsey, and like, as cool as it is, like, move on from Kelsey Grammer. Like, do something unique, man. Let's see something new. Yeah. I mean, I liked the Beast stuff and the X-Men stuff. I thought it was cool. And I'm, of course, excited to see where it goes. Nervous, but excited. Mm.
So overall, what did you think about the movie?
Ooh, okay. I think I'm pleasantly, I liked it. It's hard now. You said what, the 33rd? 33rd. Yeah. So I know we used to always kind of think of this as like, always used to break them up. Like, okay, you got your bottom tier, mid tier, and high tier Marvel movies, right? Break it up in thirds. Yeah. And like, where do they fall? But now we're almost getting too much. I mean, even if you tier it up, you're 10 movies per tier, and a few more, you know? Where does it fall? Where does it fall? It's better than Ant-Man, Quantumania. Mm-hmm. Better than Captain Marvel for me. It's probably bottom of a mid tier for me. I enjoyed it. I liked it. There wasn't much. I guess that's kind of the thing too. I still don't feel like there was much in this movie that like is going to matter long term. You know, like the whole Infinity Saga was setting something up. You found a new stone. You were introducing the new characters, the Avengers, moving the story forward. But like, these definitely are like single movies that like kind of can be taken alone somewhat.
Yeah. I guess you really have to look at it as obviously we're not into that. We're past like the origin phase, right? So this isn't part of any of the origin movies that you look at.
Which is always good.
Yeah. Yes. But it's those second or third movies that really expand on the character themselves. So, you know, you put up against Thor Dark World, Iron Man 2, mm-hmm. you know, Spider-Man, Far From Home, Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Yeah.
You have to like look at it that, like, where do you put it in like the middle of the pack? Do you put it at the bottom of those movies? You know, to me, I'd put it more as far as like a second movie compared. And if there's like six or seven of them, I mm-hmm. guess to me, I would put it in the bottom of the top tier. Like, I still think, you know, Captain America 2 would always still be my top.
Oh, yeah, and it's then, the best. Yeah. Sequel, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, after that, it's rough because it's either going to be like a Spider-Man or maybe Doctor Strange are the only really ones that have like that second movie experience. I mean, Thor is obviously the bottom. Iron Man 2 is kind of for
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man probably too. More in the mid yeah. top. Yeah. So it's like, that's where it falls for me.
Are you putting Avengers movies in there? Are you putting Age of Ultron in there?
Like single movie. Yeah.
Okay. So then that kind of muddies it up for me a little bit as well, because it wasn't like a Captain Marvel sequel. It was a little bit of all three, but I guess, yeah, it is. It definitely falls to Captain Marvel, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's your traditional sequel either, you know?
Well, even like Captain America Civil War is really, that's, to be honest, that's more of an Avengers movie than a Captain America.
Oh yeah. The Captain America Civil War. Yeah, for sure. But Winter Soldier, fuck. Yeah. That's the best. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, overall, I thought it was a great movie. I had fun with it. I was excited. I wasn't like, when I left the movie theater, I wasn't just like, I can't believe I just watched that. Like, I had so many, you know, I had so many problems with it. My positivity far outweighed the negativity in this movie. And I don't see I know a lot of people are the same thing. Like, a lot of people are bashing it. A lot of people love it. It's mixed down the middle. At the end of the day, I thought this movie was a lot of fun. And to be honest, I wouldn't mind going to see it again, you know, like cheap matinee type of thing, just because it was cool. Like, it was a fun hour and a half to kill. Like, I felt like I sat in the theater longer dealing with stupid previews of previews. Mm-hmm. And then the movie's like almost starting. I was like, wait, oh, that's right. The movie's the Marvels. That's what I'm seeing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I walked out of this one happier than I was walking out of Ant-Man Quantumania. And I didn't go in. I mean, I've been vocal about my dislike of like the Captain Marvel stuff in the MCU, but and I'm not a Ms. Marvel fan, like I said, but I actually did enjoy this movie. Do I think it's great? No. And I think there's a lot of problems. I think this movie suffers from, like I said in the beginning, superhero fatigue, MCU fatigue, and a general lackluster Brie Larson performance, which kind of sucks because, like I also said, I feel like she kind of is getting the character more in this movie. But I think people already have a somewhat of like a bad taste in their mouth for her.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I like, once again, I want to say it one more time. Like, I thought she was pretty great in this movie as Captain Marvel. They finally gave her character like some depth. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, dude, damn, I didn't even think about it until you said it. I know we're kind of rehashing, but I didn't even think about it until you said it. Like, the Hala stuff, and even more so the Hala stuff, and more of her trying to gain her memories back would have been cooler, could have been fleshed out more, which would have really given her like more depth as a character.
Yeah. Like, you see there's literally one, 2 or 3 second scene of the Central Intelligence or whatever it's called. Supreme Intelligence. And you're like, you could have done that. Like, that could have been a scene. And I feel like the movie was short enough where it's like, hey, listen, another 10 or 15 minutes isn't going to kill everybody.
Right. You know?
So that's our review, everybody.
Final note question. I saw this somewhere. I think it was an interview with Brie Larson. Did you know, is that guy who played the singing prince? He's like supposed to be super famous. Like, I saw an interview with her that said that's the most famous person she's ever worked with.
Yeah, Park Seon something. Park. Yeah. To be honest, I'm sure he's in a ton of movies overseas. Korean. But yeah, supposedly he's like, very famous overseas.
Like a superstar, like a Tom Cruise or something like that. Yeah.
Kind of like a K-pop, but not, you know.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I think he's Korean. I could be missing.
He's South Korean. I saw that. Yeah. I looked it up a while ago because I wanted to know some of the who they were. Like, even like Darbin, like, I didn't know that he was married to Tom Middleton until like after the movie.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. I thought she was just some random person that they threw in there. But appreciate the listens, everybody. You know, let us know what your thoughts are. Of course, don't forget, we still have, and I've been kind of forgetting, but I have been putting it in the details. It's good till the end of this month, people. If you are on the Shortbox app, you can get $15 off a $100 purchase or more that expires at the end of the month. Use the promo code COMICOM15. That's COMICOM. COM 15 to get $15 off $100 or more purchase. Check that out on the Shortbox app when we had Kevin on. And then we'll be back for our regularly scheduled programming every week. You know, we drop stuff every Friday. So we appreciate all the listeners, and Catch you all later.
Later.